Y'all may be seated. Y'all may sit in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just give him some praise while you're sitting there. I'm going to start out today with a little story. And then I'll tie everything together. But let's just start with the story. On April 26, 2003, a man named Aaron Ralston was hiking through Blue John Canyon in eastern Utah, just south of the Horseshoe Canyon unit of Canyonlands National Park. While he was descending a slot canyon, that's just a little narrow canyon, a suspended boulder which became dislodged while he was climbing down from it in the canyon, crushed his right hand against a canyon wall. Ralston had not informed anyone of his hiking plans, so no one would have been searching for him. Assuming that he would die, he spent 5 days slowly sipping the small amount of remaining water, eating his small amount of food while trying to loosen his arm. His efforts were futile as he could not free his arm from the 800-pound boulder. After 3 days of trying to lift and break the boulder, the dehydrated and delirious Ralston prepared to amputate his right arm. When he ran out of food and water on the fifth day, he was forced to drink his own urine. He carved his name, date of birth, and presumed date of death into the sandstone canyon wall and videotaped his last goodbye to his family. He did not expect to make it through the night. After waking at dawn the following day, that was Thursday, May the 1st, he had an epiphany that he could break his radius and ulna bones using torque against his trapped arm. He did so, then performed the amputation, which took about 1 hour with his multitude tool, which included a dull 2-inch knife. This man broke the bones in his hand, and then he cut through his hands with a dull 2-inch knife. That's a knife that's about that long, and it was dull, so you know he had to saw on his hand, and he took him an hour to do it. After freeing himself, Ralston still had to get back to his truck. He climbed out of the slot canyon in which he had been trapped, rappelled, that slide down a rope, down a 65-foot sheer wall, one-handed, then hiked out of the canyon in the hot midday sun. He was 8 miles from his truck, and he didn't have a phone. And there was no phone service probably out there anyway. He walked to a campsite, and the people that were in the campsite, the family, took him to the hospital. He was a desperate man. He was desperate. He said, I've got no hope. There's no way I'm going to make it. But I've got to do something. I can't just sit here and die. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Ralston has said that if he had amputated his arm earlier, he would have bled to death before being found. Well, if he had not done it, he would have been found dead in the slot canyon days later. He believed He was looking at death. He had no alternative. He had nobody was going to come by and save him. He had no hope. Desperation is defined in the Webster's Dictionary as done with all of your strength or energy and with little hope of succeeding. Desperation does not hope. Desperation comes when we have no hope. You know, desperation is born of fear and nurtured in doubt. When we are so terrified, when we know that there's no hope at all, then we get desperate. And desperation makes us do things that we would never think of doing. It makes soccer players that crashed in the Andes to eat each other. It makes a person commit suicide because their life is no hope. No hope. It makes a mother to steal food for her child. It makes a betrayer to hang himself. Desperation. You know, here's the path of desperation. We have a situation. It could be illness, disaster, loss, whatever. And we look at that and we hope that maybe things will work out for us. Then number three, we have a loss of hope. The doctors tell us there's no cure. The things that we lost, they're never coming back. Hallelujah. The disaster, everything we have in life has been destroyed. And then we have desperation. That's after we've given up on everything else and we know that there is no hope, then we get desperate. And then we take action. Desperation causes us, drives us to action. Desperation releases our faith in Jesus Christ. We might not have thought it was possible before, but when we're desperate, we're willing to take a chance to do things that we would not ever have thought of doing. You know, in the scriptures, there are a lot of examples of people that were desperate. And I'm just going to go through a few with you. We read of the four lepers that had given up. They made up their mind to die. Out of desperation, they made a decision. They took action. 1 Kings 7:3-7:5. And there were four lepers men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Matthew 2 Kings 7:8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid. Those men were desperate. There was no hope. Their only hope was they know that we're going to die. No matter what we do, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. We don't have any hope. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to take and go to the Syrians in desperation. If we live, we live. If they kill us, they kill us. But you know what? God had ran off all the Syrians. So when they went into that camp, they were able to eat and feast and everything, and dead they had enough to take to the city. Hallelujah. Desperation is what got them where they were. Listen to this. We read of that woman that had an issue of blood. She was ostracized, probably to the status of just like a leper. She had gone to every physician, every doctor, and there was none to help her. She spent every penny she had. In her desperation, she says, I got to do something. I can't go like this anymore. I don't have any hope. I don't have anywhere to turn. What am I going to do? I'm going to do something, because I'm not just going to sit here and die. She went, and in her desperation, she had heard of this Jesus and that he'd healed people. She pushed through the crowd with all of her strength just to get near him, just to touch his garment. She was desperate. She said, if I can get near that man and just touch his garment, I'll maybe, just maybe, I'll be healed. And she did whatever it took to get there. That's what we need to do. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. There was a blind man beside the road. He was desperate. He'd been blind all his life. He wanted more than anything to be able to see. I'm sure he had already given up. He said, I'll never be able to see. My life is worthless. But he heard about this man, Jesus. So Jesus is walking by, and everybody told him, hey, look, there's Jesus. And in his desperation, he called out as loud as he could to the Lord. Everything, he yelled out, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, because he was desperate. Everyone told him to shut up, but he cried out even louder. Mark 10:46-48. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, we all know Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Mark 10:52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Out of desperation, he called out to Jesus. I don't know whether he even believed in Jesus. I'm sure that he said, this is never going to work. but I don't care. I've tried everything else. I don't want to be sitting here blind, begging for the rest of my life because it's not worth it. There were four men that were desperate for their friend to be healed. They tore the roof off of a house to get inside, to get near Jesus. They had their friend, listen, Mark 2 and 3 and 2 and 4, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. These men were desperate for their friend to be healed. They couldn't get near Jesus, but they said, we got to do something. This is our last chance. He might never get healed. We might never hear this Jesus guy again. Let's just do something. So they sit there and they broke through the roof. I don't know how they broke through the roof, but they did it. And they took him in there, and he was healed by Jesus. There was a man named Jairus, Luke 8 and 41 and 8 and 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, but she lay a dying. But as he went, the crowd thronged him, the people thronged him. Jairus, he was the leader of the synagogue. He probably got kicked out because he was willing to get down on his knees in front of this blasphemer, of this guy that claimed to be from God. Hey, you know what? He didn't care. He said, I'm desperate. I've tried everything. My daughter is dying. What am I going to do? I need to do something. I don't care about this stupid job. I don't care if I'm the leader of the synagogue. All I care about is that my daughter lives. He was that desperate. That's how desperate we have to be. Desperation drives us to seek the Lord. I read a quote that said, prayer. When we're desperate, we get down on our hands and knees. I don't care if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic. I don't care. When you're desperate enough, you're going to get down there on your hands and knees, and you're going to pray to Jesus Christ to save you, to lift you up, because you know what? You're desperate. You're willing to do whatever it takes. But you know, we live our lives and we really don't even think about God most of the time. Until that situation comes. Until that situation comes and we can't do anything about it. There's no hope. There's no hope. We've tried everything. We've tried everything, and there's no hope. Jesus is the last hope for the desperate. When the doctor's given up, the lawyers have given up, we have given up. If we look at the people that came to Jesus in their desperation, you will see that he was there for them. And when they entered into his presence, they found hope. You know, these people didn't know anything really about Jesus. They didn't have any TV or anything. They just heard somebody talking about him. They didn't have a tract to read about him. They didn't have a Bible to read about him. They had nothing but the fact that they were desperate and they were willing to do whatever it took. Whatever it took. They never heard him preach. They didn't hear about him in Sunday school. In fact, he was considered to be a blasphemer and a false prophet. The only thing they all had in common was desperation. Desperation. They knew that they had to do something, that they couldn't just sit there. They couldn't just do whatever. They had to do something. They had to take some kind of action. You know, Matthew 7:7-8, the Lord gives us a promise. We have to stand on that promise. No matter how desperate we are, we have to make sure that we're trusting in the Lord, that He's the one, that He's the one that's going to take care of everything, that we don't have to worry about it. When we get desperate, then we have to get down there and say, Lord, I'm desperate. I need you. Hallelujah. I can't make it. I got no hope. I'm going to die. Hallelujah. Listen to Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know what? How many, I don't know if there's anybody here that's been in a desperate situation, a situation that you didn't know where to turn. You didn't know where to go. You didn't know what to do. You were helpless. You were trapped. There was nothing. You looked over there and there ain't no hope. There ain't no hope. The doctor told me I'm gonna die. The lawyer told me they were gonna put me in prison for the rest of my life. They told me my children were going to be drug addicts and murderers and all kinds of things. That's what they told me. They said, there's no hope for you. There's no hope. I'm not talking about, I'm just using that as a character there. Although the doctors did tell me I wasn't going to make it, but I'm still here. But you know what? The mercy of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of sin you committed. I don't care if you killed 19 people and raped 47. It doesn't matter. God will not reject you in your desperation. You know what? We'll accept you if you come to Him. Look at, there's a man called Son of Sam. He was a serial killer. He changed his life to Jesus Christ, and now he's in prison, but he has a ministry in prison. He didn't deserve it. He was desperate, though. He said, I can't take this. I can't spend my life in this prison. I've got to do something. I've got somebody. I got a Jesus. I need Jesus. I'll call on Jesus. I heard about Him. I don't know if He'll do anything, but I'm going to call on Him anyway. If you know someone that is desperate, just like the four men that took their friend. They were so desperate, they tore the roof off of that house. That's a criminal offense, probably even back then. It was probably a criminal offense. But you know what? They were desperate for their friend. Jairus was desperate for his child. He says, I don't care. I'll do anything to save my daughter. And the four men says, I'll do anything to save our friend. You know that? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be so desperate that we'll do anything to save a lost soul, to save somebody that's out there and they're not going to make it. We got to get that desperation in our hearts. We got to say, I know I don't talk too well. I know I'm kind of shy, but I, out of desperation, I'm going to go up and tell this person about Jesus Christ. We have to do that. That's our job. We have to be desperate for other people, not just ourselves, but for other people. You know, if you know somebody that's desperate, that has searched everywhere for rescue and cannot find it, let them know that there's someone that rescues the desperate. The Lord Jesus Christ. He'll always be there for them. He made every one of us. He loves us all. Yes, we do things that we shouldn't do, but He still loves us anyway. You know, if somebody's desperate for healing, you know, Psalm 32 says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Matthew 21 and 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. If somebody needs peace, that's they're desperate in their life for peace, they're troubled every day by something. There's something that's always on them, something that they can't sit down and have any peace. I don't know if you know people like that, but I do. They just can't find peace. Isaiah 57 and 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. Comfort. Comfort. There's people with broken hearts, people that are so desperate because they lost somebody in their lives. And there's a hole so big in their lives that they can't fill it. They don't know what to do. Oh, they wake up every morning and they cry and the tears run down their face because they've lost somebody, and they can't fill that hole, and they need some comfort. Sometimes we all need comfort. Psalms 147 and 3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, and of your family, some people, we're desperate for our families. Our children are drug addicts. Our children are in jail. Our children are running with the wrong people. Hallelujah. They're just doing things. Our husbands or our wives are getting ready to cheat on us, to commit adultery. They lie to us. Our children steal from us things that we need. We get desperate. We do these things. Oh, I put him in this program, but he got out and he's still doing the same thing. Oh, yes. Oh, we went to marriage counseling, but they're still cheating. Hallelujah. If you're that desperate, God will heal your family. You get down on your hands and your knees and you say, God, heal my family. Heal them, Lord. Heal them. Whoa. Psalm 31 and 24 says, Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. The power of the Holy Ghost will give you strength to overcome desperation. Romans 15 and 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't know if there's anybody desperate here today. But my question I have to ask, are we desperate enough? Are we desperate enough to get rid of our pride, to get rid of all of these things, to cast them all away and get down on our hands and our knees and cry out to Jesus Christ? Can we do that today? Can we do that? 2 Samuel 22 and 7 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Psalm 34 and 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Desperation. I don't care. Desperation. That's what's going to lead us to Jesus Christ. That's what's going to lead your friend to Jesus Christ. That's what's going to lead the person to Jesus Christ down the road. We have to be desperate enough to go to the Lord for them. We have to get down there and cry out for them. Oh, Lord, save them. Save them from themselves. Save them from this world. We have to be that desperate. You know, I got a little story I'm going to close with. There was a turtle, and he was crossing the road. And the turtle fell in a ditch in the road, a hole in the road, a pothole. And he couldn't get out. And his friends, all the other creatures, came to try to get him out of there. And no matter what they did, they couldn't get him out of there. No matter how hard they pulled, no matter what they tried to do, they couldn't get him out of there. They figured, well, that's the end of the turtle. So the next day, the rabbit's walking down the road, and he sees the turtle wandering around. And he said, what happened to you? You were trapped in that hole. You're supposed to be dead. And the turtle said, well, you know what? I saw a truck coming, and I got desperate. So sometimes when you see that truck coming, you got to get desperate too. We need to be desperate. Desperation. You know, I know it's not a fun thing to talk about, but we all need to understand that we have to be desperate for everybody out there. We have to be. We're their only hope. There's millions of people, and we're their only hope. Because the Lord said, hey, I heard you crying out. I heard you crying out for Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. Or I heard you crying out for this family. I heard it. It came into my ear. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it done. Let's just stand up for a moment. And I just want to pray with everybody that, Lord, put desperation in our hearts. Make us desperate for all those lost souls. All those souls, Lord, that don't know what's going on. The lost ones, Lord Jesus. Oh, make us, Lord Jesus, make us desperate for them. Make us cry out for them, Lord Jesus. Put that in our heart, Lord. Put it in our heart. Let that be what we dedicate our lives to, Lord Jesus. no matter what it takes. No matter, Lord, we've got to do it. We've got to pray for these people. We've got to take some kind of action, because they're not going to make it unless we do something. We have to be desperate. Oh, Lord, put that in our hearts. Put that in our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, walk around. You know, we got a few minutes till service starts.